JSE-listed education player Kuro released their interim results. For the 6 months ended June 2020, the company reported a rise in revenue of 7% to just shy of 1.6 billion rand from the same period last year. Headline earnings per share decreased by 23% to 38.7 cents from 50 cents a year earlier. The company says it took a hit with an impairment of 67 million rand. Well, to find out more about how operations went in the period under review, I'm joined on the line by Andries Grayling. He's the CEO at Kuro. Thanks very much, Andries, for joining us. So the six-month period that you're reporting on has been a hectic one for the education space, more so from March when COVID hit the country. So just give us your interpretation of the headline numbers you produced this time around.
I think, as we all know, the first 3 months, if you look at Kuro, our lending numbers grew with 9%, and our cash collections compared to the prior year, it was about 24% higher. And then the end of March, COVID hit us. The one miracle that happened is that even though it wasn't flawless, it's just remote learning that took place. And for a few years, Kuro has been working hard on our IT offering and remote offering.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly I must compliment our teachers that you can imagine one day they were standing in the class and the next day they had to do remote learning while managing a child or, you know, working from home. It wasn't easy, but we came through the remote learning, and the main focus for us this year is to finish the curriculum. But hit us hard during the lockdown was basically two things, and that's the preschool learners decline, and that's not a compulsory phase of schooling. So sadly there we lost some learners, and then also our cash inflow, even though it wasn't 0 or 20%, it was still 80% of the amount invoice was lower than before March.
So
since July it seems like it's been recovering, but you don't want to express an opinion until you're more into this year.
Yes, indeed. So I see in the report that you mentioned having had to make an impairment of 67 million rand. What does that speak to?
It's three schools that we constructed in rural areas where the numbers, and the bulk of them are compliant for preschool numbers. And in the rural areas where the economies it's also came under pressure. So we had to impair those assets. We did two schools last year and at year end, and this year we just did the impairment at half year.
Right. So just going back what you were talking about earlier about how in a way you were already geared up for this eventuality because you'd already invested in online capacity, but how did you manage with those students who perhaps don't have those facilities at home? What support were you able to give them?
It's just amazing the creativity that teachers used during the lockdown stages. The one thing is you've got a cell phone, you can access the material. When we went into lockdown, we immediately did a survey to find out how many of our children would be influenced by not having access. And it was only about 10 to 15% of our learners that were struggling to get access.
Right.
So what we've done is we negotiated some SIM cards, etc., from companies and to supply it to children. Some of the teachers use WhatsApp to communicate. To keep children engaged.
Yes.
Like I said, the challenge, like all of it came back to the teacher, I take my hat off for them, the way they go and all.
So for most businesses, COVID has meant additional costs around the observance of health and safety protocols. What did your cost curve generally look like in the period under review?
We decided to give discounts to our parents for the month of June. So we did, for all our parents, we gave discounts. And then also we set up a COVID fund specifically for parents that lost their jobs, etc., to support them. So we spent about 60 million on those discounts. And then to open our schools, we moved about 26 campuses, 160 in schools. Up till now, it cost us about 14 million, to get it open. And obviously, there will continuously be a higher maintenance cost because we clean our campuses every single afternoon when schools are closed. So that cost will put in peace. But yeah, then on the other side, you had some savings. But it was not, a cost is mainly driven by salaries and by raising taxes.
Electricity.
So we didn't have that those massive savings, but there were some that counted as that additional cost.
Yeah. You've talked about parents, some of them losing their jobs or having less pay, which is, of course, is a factor that's affected pretty much everyone across society. But in terms of the business going forward, how concerned are you around the impairment rates that you're going to have to cover for people who eventually are not able to pay?
That's the biggest uncertainty is how quickly will our economy recover. We need growth and we need stimulation. Pre-COVID, we've been under strain. With no economic growth, etc. That's one of the reasons why we've been proactive with the real rights issue.
Yes.
Just because of uncertainty. And we still require capital to construct on our current campuses. As those campuses grow and, phase new grades.
Yes.
You need to build a classroom. So just because of the unknown, our company still being young, we decided, we've got the view it's going to be a bit longer than just 6 months. And we did our planning on the risk case. And for that, hopefully we can cover the risk by doing the right thing.
There's a lot of talk about how COVID has promoted digital ways of doing things, both in terms of work and learning. Once the pandemic dust has settled, is it going to be back to normal for you guys from an education perspective, or are you going to be perhaps doing dual type of learning where some students are doing online and others are back in the classroom?
When we open now, all our schools are open, so for all grades. So what's happening now is that students got the choice, we call it hybrid learning, where they can actually enter, they visit the school or they can do remote learning from home. But it seems, I think the younger child, it's still, parents need to be involved with the education.
Yes.
It's difficult to do it from home, and you need to learn social skills. You need to be, involved in an environment of safety and with friends, involved with friends, etc. So I imagine, firstly, we will never go back to before. So before COVID, I think we have to do primary school education differently and make it more exciting. I don't think we will have an outflow of a massive amount of people in the primary school. But our high school, it makes me excited that I think in the high school we can be a lot more creative. You can imagine a grade 12 child next year will be in university, and they need to sit in a class with a timetable that's set, and I think we can, as education company, do it a bit differently and make it more exciting for them and give them some choice rather than just enforce it on them. So we're working on that line to make it a bit different when we come back, because I don't think we'll ever go back to before COVID.
Yeah. So in terms of the second half of the year, what's the outlook? Is it a case of just surviving and then thinking of bigger things later on?
I think at the moment for us, there's some opportunities that we are investigating at the moment, opportunities in the sense of schools that we are looking at acquiring and putting on our base and manage them, and hopefully we can grow them. That's one exciting part. The next thing for us is we will cover the curriculum and our learners. Your grade 12s, most of them are starting to write the report exams in the next 2-3 weeks. So we will cover most of the curriculum for all our grades. And then it's focused on assisting, helping, constructing new classes for next year. Really realize the effect on the learner numbers. I think we can only determine that when we open 2021
to see
what the effect will be. And that's the uncertainty. If you don't get your learners in grade 1 and grade 8, there's always challenges.
That's right.
So we're working hard and your product offering and your quality, and ensure that your group is marketing themselves and to deliver quality, and hopefully we will get the numbers next year.
That was Andries Grayling. He's the CEO at Kuro.